Okay, yes. The create. And where did the smart board go? That was already opened, I swear. Okay. Create. Can anybody tell me how to create a backup?
I think
I did. You look it up?
Yeah.
How?
It was like create, then you name it, like, let's say, first assignment, underscore, backup, and then you, what it's not. I forget how I did it, but I did it somehow.
Create.
Table
BK, I'll call it.
Oh. Yeah.
Whatever I want to call it. Huh?
Yeah. I'm going to find it.
And you create table, you just call it a backup name as select star from...
That's right.
Yes, that's right.
As, and then you just put in your select. And so you can then select whatever you want. If you want to create a backup of the whole thing, you're going to say select asterisk. And if you wanted to only create a backup of certain key fields, then you can list out the fields that you want to do. So select asterisk from table original. Okay, so I've now created a copy of that. So I've said create table backup as select everything from table org. Original, rather. And that will make me a copy. And when I finish making a table, that's the very next thing that I do, so that I always have a copy of it, so that if I mess it up, I have a copy.
Now, to update, you just do the same code, or you just do a, like, insert into, and then the backup table, and then do the same command to... updated?
Well, yeah, I mean, I usually go ahead and work with table original, and I just keep table backup as my copy of it in case something goes wrong. When I've made enough copies of this, then I either get rid of table backup, or being a paranoid person,
oh.
I make create table backup too.
I'm thinking about, like, just not even doing that, just having the two tables that match. Insert into table backup.
Dream on.
No. It's not that easy?
No, I mean, insert into... Actually, I guess I shouldn't say that. I don't think you can do that, but I've honestly never tried it, so I guess I shouldn't say.
It kind of makes sense.
I'm not sure that I think it makes sense.
Of a whole different whole new table every time you want to back up. You know, I wouldn't want to have a 10 table with the same...
Well, then you just drop the table. Well, then you go searching and find a way to do that. Because I have never wanted to do what you wanted to do, so therefore I've never tried it.
I'm going to make one.
Okay. And it may work. As I said, I just have never done that. I mean, what I do is I go along for a while, and what I usually want is to back up the original. And then when I go along for a while, I make a backup of it. And sometimes my backup have dates on them, and, you know, so that I will put the backup in the date that this is my... I mean, that's what I do in the rest of my life, is everything has dates on it so that I know when I did this sort of stuff. Okay, what I want to look at today is introduction to multiple tables. But first, actually, I want to review the group and make sure, because I had a few questions about this. Okay. This is where the questions come in.
Okay, so I'm saying select state and contact. Okay. And I'm saying... Well, wait a minute, that was the bad one. I'm saying select state and contact. That's the good one. I'll find it eventually. state, contact, and some year goal, because it says everything. Okay? So, the fact that I'm listing some fields up here tells me, because I know Oracle, that I'm going to be grouping on those fields. Because I can't list fields. So, fields I list are fields I'm grouped by. There are those I am grouping by. Okay? So if I put any fields up there, I can have any kind of sum, average, count, anything like that is fine, because those are grouping activities. But any fields that I put in here, I group. Okay, then I get down to where contact. This is eliminating as I group, as I form the groups. So John Adams is being eliminated as I form the groups. He will not be in any group. Okay? And here's where I tell the fields I'm grouping by. And it then forms the fields, forms the groups. After the groups have been formed, this eliminates groups. Eliminates or keeps, whatever, however you're putting it, groups. But it tells me what groups are going to be left. Okay. And then I go into the order by, and this is just the order to list them in. That doesn't impact any of the data, it's just the order that I list them in. Okay? So that's that entire thing. And it's important to remember that the where eliminates as the groups are being formed, and the final having tells me what groups I'm having. Okay, what groups I'm going to keep or get rid of or whatever. But it's what I'm keeping. Okay. Questions on that? Because I got a few questions on people doing the homework. All right. Then we will go into what I said was next, which is introducing multiple tables. Okay, I've got three tables that I use constantly. Okay, for examples. There's a donor table. And I actually, when I printed this out, I have this one, the ID number has already been specified as the key. If you see not null there, it tells you that that's the primary key. We haven't actually gone into keys yet. We'll be getting into them probably this week. But apparently when I made this, I just put it in and it had already been assigned a key. Okay, so that not null tells me that it is a primary key. So there's the donor table. Then I have a donation table. Okay, and my donation table, when I actually come to put the primary keys in, is going to have ID, drive, and contribution date as the primary key. I probably could have just had ID and contribution date, but I decided on ID, drive, and contribution date. And then I have another table that is the drive. Okay, so this is the drive that people are donating to. And so the drive, the iDrive number, is the primary key. And then I have the drive name, the chair, last year what was given, and this year what was given will be eventually added. Okay, so those are the three tables. And they interact. So if I come over here and look at those three tables, I've got the donor table, and that's got information about the donor, and I've got the donation table,
and that has information about the donation, and I have the drive table. Okay, so there's going to be a drive number on here that is going to link me over here. There's going to be a donor number, or whatever I call it, that is going to link me over here. Okay, so I'm going to have the link. These are the links between the tables. Okay, so I can interact with all of the tables. So I can say, okay, I want to see all of the donations from a particular donor. So it will link over here to the donor number and tell me all the donations. Okay? I can't link from the donor to the drive, but I can get there because I can go from the donor over to the donation and then over to the drive because I have the links that allow me to move around. Okay? So you have to have, when you are setting up multiple tables in a system, it's important to think about how you're going to link them together and how you're going to get information from all of the tables. Okay, so you have to have the links. Now, in good design, those links are about the only thing that is repeated. I don't want to repeat data, okay? But when I am using data as a link, then it has to be repeated because I have to be able to link two things together, which means it has to be in two places so that I can do that. Okay? So that's what these three tables are, and that's how they connect. Okay? And I should have written over here, drive number down there. Just looked at it. That was drive. That's drive number. Okay. Now, as it turns out, this is going to be the primary key. These three fields together are going to be the primary key here, and this is going to be the primary key over here. And the relationship between donor and donation is a one-to-many relationship, I hope. Okay? I hope they're going to give lots of money lots of times. So I'm hoping it's a one-to-many relationship. For some people, it may not be, but the tables are a one-to-many relationship, okay? Because one donor is going to give, hopefully, multiple donations. Okay, so I come over here, and those are my three tables. Now, when I want to take something from the three tables, I can put up here, I want to get ID number, which is apparently what I call the donation ID. Then I want to get the donation drive number and the drive name from the two tables, donation and drive, where the donation drive number equals the drive number. Okay? So what I'm saying there, and by the way, as I'm looking forward, there are two ways to do this. One is using a join statement, which we'll look at on Thursday probably. And the other is just plain linking them. Linking them is my preference. I think it's more understandable when you read it. I think probably you will find that there are more joins out there than the way I do it. And as I said, we'll go over both of them. I just prefer this method. I think more people probably prefer the join method. I just think it's more readable, and you can decide after we've looked at both of them which way you like to do it. So the first thing is I'm saying I want information from these two tables, the donation and the drive. So at that point, I have to tell it how I'm going to link. And so when I say from donation drive, I'm going to link on the drive number. Because as we saw a minute ago, the drive number is the thing they have in common. Now, whenever you are using a field that appears on multiple tables that you're using, okay, doesn't matter as long as I list the table.
But drive number is on both of these. That has to be so I can link it. So I have to tell it which table I'm talking about. I'm talking about the drive number that's on the donation table. I'm talking about the drive number that's on the drive table. So when I use a field that appears on more than one table, I have to tell it which particular one I want to look at right now. I want to look at the one on the donation table and compare it to the one on the drive table. So I have to specify the table. And the way I do it is table.field. Okay, so it's written as table.field. Now, up at the top, on the select statement, the ID number is on the donation table.
Yep.
It's not on the drive table. So I can just write ID number. I want to see the drive number. The drive number's on both. So I have to tell which table. I don't care which table I write there because I've already said I only want to do it when they're equal. So donation drive number and drive number are going to be the same because I'm saying where they're equal. So it doesn't matter whether I write donation drive number or drive number. Yes, well, you'll see twice. They'll see it twice then.
Oh, I see.
You'd see it, boom, boom. And in fact, some of my examples, I think I do that just to prove that you're seeing that it's matching. And then drive name only is on the drive table. It's not on the donation table, so it doesn't need to have a table name. Now, you can put the table name on all of those. There's no harm in doing the table name on all of them. Okay, I'm lazy, so I don't. I only put it where I need to because it saves a little bit of typing. If you have taken the 120 class, we have looked at briefly what Microsoft does to an access SQL when you put it in. And they put the table name on everything, even when there's only one table. Okay? So you don't need to do that. You only need to do it when it's going to be confused. And if I put drive number up there, it's going to say, but from which table? Because it exists on both. So whenever it's going to be confused, I have to clarify for it. Questions? Okay, so then it went in and it got the ID number, and the drive name. And there were apparently only four donations. If we go up here and look, we can see there were four donations. And so it gave me the information on all four of those donations. Okay? Now when I go down to the next one, I left out the where. I left out the linking. And when I leave out the linking, I get every possible combination. Okay? I get every possible combination. So you can see the people are repeated three times. Each one of them, each one of those donations, if you look up at the top here, those are the four donations. If you look down here, you see them once, you see them twice, you see them three times because there were three things in the drive. So there were four donations. Love it.
Good morning, Smart.
Yeah, no, it usually doesn't get tired until a little later in the afternoon. Okay. Not sure it's going to let me write. I'll come over here and click that one magic little spot. Okay. So I had four records on the donation. And I have three records on the drive. And so four times three equals 12, which is what I have over here.
So I'm getting every possible combination. It took each of the four donations and did it once for each drive, so that I got 12. So I, you know, if you start to see this kind of thing, what you should be saying is, whoops, I forgot to link the tables. Because when it links everything, as opposed to when I specify what I want to link, then it just links those things. But if it doesn't, it links everything. And you can go on and on forever, because you can see what it does when I only have 4 and 3. Okay, if I have 1,000 and 1,000, I'm going to have a whole lot of stuff coming out of here. Questions? Okay. You can, if you want to, give the table name a abbreviation. And if you've got long table names, you may decide you want to give them an abbreviation. So in the from clause, I say donation is DO and drive is DR. And then I can use DO and DR. And this is one of the ones where I put it both, so I would see it twice. And then I have the DO drive number equals the DR drive number. And you can see I've got the drive coming up twice, the two same, two columns. Okay, so one is from the donation, one's from the drive. So you can see those coming up twice. And you can see that they match, because indeed the where clause said that had to happen, that they had to match. So there's no sense in putting both of them out there. You get the exact same piece of information twice if you put them both out there. Okay, so that abbreviation, if you have long, cumbersome table names, that can be especially if they have special characters, underscores or something, that can be a nice way of doing it. Okay, now I can go on and I can put my usual kinds of things that I put in the where clause in here. Okay, so I can say I want to join on these two things, or I want to link on these two things, and I also only want the drive number and the donation table to be greater than 100. So I can put any additional criteria that I want in the list in there. Okay, I usually start out with the linking. And then I go on and I add, and I can add as much as I want to. I can go on forever here and put in the criteria that I want. Okay. Down below, the next one, I have the donor, donation, and drive. So I'm linking all three tables together. Okay, so my from has donor, donation, and drive in it. Okay, just as a total aside, looking at that, how did that happen to come up looking like that as opposed to some of my others? Like that one. Why do those two look very different?
Because of the asterisks between the words before the
where. It's because I went into the editor. Okay, notice the slash down here?
Mm-hmm.
This one was, I came out of the editor. So I typed something wrong, I went into the editor, I fixed it, and I came back and ran with the slash. So anyway, back to what I was really talking about was that these have three tables. So I need to link the donor table to the donation table, and that's based on the ID number.
And I need to link the drive number to the drive, the donation table to the drive table, rather, based on the drive number. So I've got both links in there. I've got the donor. Okay, so I have the donor. Well, at least it didn't bring up the old ink. Say thank you for anything. So I've got the donor, which has an ID number. I have the donation, which has an ID number, and a drive number. And I have the drive that has the drive number. Okay? So the first thing I'm doing there is I'm saying where the donor ID equals the donation. Whoops. Where the donor ID equals the donation. So I am linking these two together. And then the next thing I'm saying is, and the donation drive number equals the drive number, drive number. So I'm linking those two together. Okay, so I am linking my three tables together based on this. Yes, no, maybe? Okay. And then I go on, and I can then take data from all three tables. Okay, so I've got up here, now I need to, with the ID number, tell which table it's from, because I've got two tables that have an ID number. So I said, oh, take the donor ID number, take the name, which is on the donor table, take the donation, which is on the drive number. So if I look at these, this came from the donor table. Donation drive number. The drive name came from the drive table. And the con amount came from the donation table. Okay? So I am showing the fields that I used to link. And I'm showing three additional fields, one from each table. I don't have to show the fields that I used to link, but they obviously make the line make more sense if I have them. Okay? But so I've got the fields that I used to link, and I said ID number, name, drive, drive name, and the contribution amount. Okay? Questions. And you can go on and link four or five tables. It's the same pattern that you have to go through, but you can keep linking tables together. Okay? And so when you have designed your database, you've got this whole array of tables that you've got available to you. You look at it and say, I want data from these three different tables. So I have to know how to link the tables, what they link on, and then I can write the command to link the tables together based on the linked fields, and then grab information from any of the tables. Okay. And again, all of those things in the select could have table name dot field name, and that would be fine. And some people prefer to have that, as I said, I like the shortness of it, but there is some documentation value to putting it in so that people can see where the field came from. So there's a certain amount of if you want the documentation value of the name came from the donor table, the drive, the contribution amount came from the donation table, then putting those table names in gives you a little documentation. So it's a torn between, I like the fact that it's easier to read, I think, this way. So that's why I like to leave them off, and also I'm lazy. But it's the main thing is that it really is, I think, easier to read if you don't have everything with the dot in front of it.
But as I said, if you want documentation, then the documentation is good to put it in. And we'll get into later that when you start making a lot of these long selects that you know that you're going to use multiple times, you save them in a script. And then you can just run the script, or anybody can run the script. So you can give it to somebody that doesn't have a clue what's going on, but they can execute the script and get the report. So as I said, we'll talk about putting this into a script later. But you can take the selects and put them into a script if you know you're going to be reusing them. And that's when documentation probably is a good idea, because you're now making them more permanent. If you're just writing it and taking the results, you don't care about documentation. Okay, now we're going to get into vocabulary. And you have to promise not to ask me any questions about this beyond today. Which basically tells you that I have, that's lovely. But I want an equi join or a non equi join or an outer join or whatever. Yeah, right. So okay. I'm still going to make you do it for a homework assignment. So you have
that.
No. So you got to do it for one day too. But if you then ask what these are, I'll probably say go look it up. Okay. So an equi join is the kind that we've used so far. Other names for equi-joins are simple joins or inner joins. An equi-join means that the values in the table being compared must be equal. So we've been looking at, and we've got the, you know, the link where we made they had to be equal. So that's an equi-join. A non-equi-join means there is not a direct join between the tables. And this is an example. I've got a school grade and schools. And the school is going to tell what the low grade at that school is and what the high grade at that school is. So elementary schools are in 1 through 6. And junior high is 7 through 8 or 7 through 9, depending on how you do it. And high school is 9 through 12 or whatever. So that's what it's looking for. So I am looking to see if I have a grade, what school it's in. I'm looking to find out what school it's in. So I'm asking the between question. Is the grade level that I'm looking at, I want to get the grade level, between the low grade and the high grade? Is it between the school's low grade and high grade? So I am asking, is it for elementary school, a 4 would be between the 1 and the 6. Okay, so the 4 is between the 1 and the 6. So I am asking, basically what I'm doing is I'm comparing not to, for equal, I'm comparing to, is it equal to one of those? Is it in one of those letters? So is the 5 in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? Mm-hmm. Or is it in the 7, 8? Or is it in the 9, 10, 11, 12? So I'm asking not for a direct match, but is it equal to something in the range? So I'm asking, is whatever here between the low and the high? So if I'm looking at elementary school, between the 1 and the 6. Okay. So that's not a direct equal thing, is what they're saying there. Then,
So that would display, all right, you got the name, or it looks like it's the grade. I'm just trying to read that correctly. All right, you've got the name, you've got the grade level,
yep.
And then you've got the group name.
And that came from the schools. Mm-hmm. So I would be saying, for example, 1 through 6 has the word elementary as the group name. 7 through 8 has the word junior as the group name. 9 through 12 has the word senior or high school or whatever.
So whatever it's whatever the grade is, depend on what the group name will come up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So 5 will come up as elementary, 7 would come up as junior, and
11 would come up as high school, yeah.
So the data shown, this means not there, but...
Yeah, I should have probably put a run in on our one.
Would it exclude the outer parameters and just show like what's between them?
No, this one will not exclude, no. It will not exclude, but that's a really good thing to test. If I went in and tested this and discovered that elementary, when I put in 6, it was not coming up as elementary, then I know that I better put it in as 0 through 7 to get 1 through 6. But this one works with 1 through 6 and includes the two ends.
Okay, so it shows everything.
Yep, and Oracle will do that. But with any database, if you suddenly, I mean, I always test that to see whether the between is inclusive or exclusive.
And you put like your having clause in after where, right? If you want to just show what's in the middle.
That's only if you're grouping.
Right.
The having clause is only if you're grouping. Having goes with grouping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you don't have any, like, examples?
I don't have any grouping on this. No, I didn't run it, and I'm not sure that I have that table set up. In fact, I suspect I don't. I may have it at home. But I have a very simple table as far as I can see here. I don't know what else is on it. But I have the student's name and their grade level. I want to see the student's name, their grade level, and then what school they're in, whether in elementary, junior, or high.
Okay. And so I want the grade level, and I'm testing, and I want to see where the grade is in that range, and that will choose what group name I'm going to get.
I'll try to remember to do that and post it.
Yeah,
okay,
really,
but I don't want, okay, I'll try to remember. Somebody send me an egg and I will look at home because I'm sure I have it at home. And I don't know why I didn't print the output out, but I didn't. But I don't want to take the time here to create the table because we'll sit and watch me do typos while I create the table. And that's... both tables, send me an egg, yes.
To just like post a...
Yeah, telling me to do the grade one.
Topic nag.
Huh?
Topic nag.
That's right, exactly. I'm sure I have it at home, but I may end up finding out that it's easier to redo it. But anyway, okay, outer join. Now the problem is... Here I have those three drives that I've had. Okay, so if we go back up and look at my drives, I have in the drive table drive 100, drive 200, drive 300. And in the donation table, I have people giving to 100, 200, and 300. Okay, so we're only dealing with 100, 200, and 300 here. Those are the only drives that we're dealing with. Now I came over and I said, okay, I want to start a new drive. So I'm going to insert 400, a drive 400, into the drive table. Okay? So I've added a new drive that I'm going to start trying to get people to donate to. So I've inserted the 400 and now I've got 4 drives in my drive table. Okay? So now, for no particularly good reason, I want to do a list. But I want to see the fact that I've got drive 400. Well, there's no donations for drive 400. So since there's no donations for drive 400, it isn't about to show that. Because I'm linking donation to drive.
and since there's no match, it's not going to show the 400. Okay, so the code below illustrates the outer join. There is now a drive 400, but there have been no contributions to the drive, no donations to the drive. Therefore, the donation side is missing the data, while the drive side has the data. Okay, so on the donation side, there's no 400. On the drive side, there now is. Therefore, in setting up the test, the plus is put on the donation side, okay, on the side that doesn't have the data. This, okay, so what I did is I said, select the drive number, contribution amount, drive number, drive name, and I did drive number twice just to show it. From donation and drive, where the donation drive number with the plus equals the drive number. So that means the plus tells it that I am going to be missing something maybe on the donation side, but if it's on the drive side, I should still show it. So I see the drive number of 400 coming in there. Now, if I had accepted something into a drive 500 and there was no, or 400, sorry, and there was no drive set up for it yet, I'd put the plus on the other side. I'd put the plus with the drive number instead of on the drive number rather than the donation drive number. But in other words, if I say something is missing from one side, I can put in the plus and say I still want to see this if there is a drive. Even if there's not a donation, I want to see a drive. Remembering what side to put the plus on is one of the things that I find troublesome. I want to somehow put it on the other side, but it's on the side where it's missing as opposed to the side where it exists. That seems that way to me, so that's why I have been known to put it on the wrong side. But so if you want to see the data and you know that you're not going to find a match, you can do this. Okay. And down below, I did it without putting the plus in, and you can see that you don't get the 400 when you don't put the plus in. Okay, so I redid this, but I eliminated the plus, and you can see that the 400 doesn't show up. Okay, this is the one that... whatever. A self-join is used to join a table onto itself. Okay? Yeah. Just in case you ever want to do that. For example, let's say you have an inventory file that contains jackets and skirts that can be sold separately or together as a suit. You will carry the coordinate in a field called pair set. Okay. So, what I've got is I've got an item number, 111, can be paired with 333. And 333 is a skirt that can be paired with 111. 222 is a jacket that can be paired with 555. 555 is a shirt that can be paired with 222. Okay? So those tell me how to go about putting that together. So I have an item name, an item number, an item name, and a pair set. So I am joining the table onto itself. So notice the from clause has inventory twice.
And I basically am using the nicknames here. This is where the nicknames become necessary. Where I'm saying inventory, this one will be called first, and inventory, this one will be called second. Okay.
SND is second.
Huh?
SND is second.
In my world, it is. I could have called it anything. I could have called it my ABC one and my DEF one.
Oh,
okay.
No.
I am saying I'm giving the inventory file that I'm joining on myself. So I'm saying the first one is I'll call it first, and the second one I'll call second. And FSD stands for first in my world, and XMD stands for second in my world. Okay? So now I am saying I want to look at this table on top of itself, kind of. And the where clause says where the item number on the first version of inventory equals the pair set on the second version of inventory. So it comes out and it says, okay, 11 jacket skirt, and it pulls that out. So I'm saying, give me the item number from the first, that's the 111, the item name from the first, that's jacket, and the item name from the second, and that's skirt, because I joined the first and the third together, because I've joined the item number with the pair set. So I've joined 111 with 333.
At least I gave you an example here.
Notice that there is nothing there about 444 because it didn't have a pair set. Okay. Now, how often do you use this? Not very often. But
say if you own Mr. Tux, you know.
That's right, exactly.
Say if you have like products.
The products that can be sold separately or together, this is a good way of doing it. Okay. But because you only want one inventory file and you're carrying the information about the matching. And so it's a good way of doing it.
Like same type of information. If you can join the same stuff inside that table, then cool. But otherwise, you're going to be using two different tables if it's two different.
And you don't want two inventory tables. You want one inventory table for the rest of the, you know, for your sanity and everything else. You want one inventory table.
Yeah.
And so.
Store location.
Yeah, but I mean, you might have different stores depending on whether things are centralized or localized will have different inventory. But still, that doesn't solve the problem. So, okay. So, those are just a bunch of ways of doing a join, or a link, rather. Okay, the next one, moving on down here, is a relational database example. And we're going to look at that, and then we've got into the joint statement we'll look at tomorrow, or Thursday. And then we'll get into subqueries, and then it starts to get really, the select ends up with loads and loads of clauses in it. Okay, so I made an order system involving customers and inventory. So I first have my inventory table. And eventually I will make the item number the primary key. So there's my inventory table, item number, item name, on hand, on order, reorder point, cost price, what department it's in.
So this one you edited too, right?
Edited, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You brought into the edit.
Yeah. If you probably follow through, you'll see that I go into the editor a lot because I can't type.
Okay, so, you know, I typed it up. I made some kind of a typo in here. And so I went over into the editor.
Well, at least you're honest.
And I have the slash there that tells me that I came back after I went into the editor.
Okay. Oh, look, the next one, I look like I did it right the first time. Oh, no, that's the description. Of course I did. We'll see when we get to the next table. So there's my inventory table. Okay. Then I have an inventory customer table. I don't think I would let you see me create them after that. I think I just showed you the finished product. Okay. So I have an inventory table. I have my customer table. So I'm, again, working under the idea that I know who my customers are, so I'm more of a mail order kind of place or something on that order. I'm not a walk-in off the streets because then I don't know who all my customers are. So I've got my information about my customer, and my customer ID is going to be my primary key there. Okay, then I've got my orders. And so, what I've got so far, and then I've got my order line and sales rep and department are kind of extras. Okay, so if I come over here, I've got my inventory table, and somebody that's got it open, tell me what the key is on the inventory table. Or tell me what the ID number is.
Item number is a bar chart.
Okay, so it's item number. Yeah. And then I have, what was it, my customer invent, or what is the name of the table?
INV cust.
And the key there is?
Yep, cust ID.
Okay. So, here is the information about the customer, and here's the information about the inventory, okay? Now, my next one is my order table. So if I go back over, the next one I called ORD.
Order Z.
Order Z. And notice it has... Or whenever I throw a Z on at the end, it's usually because I'm afraid I'm stepping on a reserved word.
Yeah.
And order by is what you do when you sort. So order is a word that Oracle uses for something. And so lots of times I will throw a Z on at the end so that I've misspelled it. And that's just my personal thing, that I throw Zs on things.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. Especially if you've been stuck on like a table for a long time and you're trying to put in a reserved word in there, and you're like, I don't understand, I put this table in correctly and you're doing it for a day.
Yeah.
And then realize that it's just because.
And he's doing this because he did that.
For my final. Oh, yes. Like, I think I used the word selection or something weird, and I was like, why is this working?
It also sounds cool like orders.
And I do that with name.
Like,
I lots of times spell name as N-A-M-Z or leave out the E or N-A-M-E-Z because name is another word that is frequently a reserved word.
Right, yeah.
And so anything that sounds like a reserved word, I lots of times will throw the Z on it. So anyway.
Good memories.
Make you think, huh? Okay, so on the next one, I've got the orders. And notice what I've got there. The order number, okay, I've got the orders file has an order number, the customer ID, and the order date. Okay, so I am coming up with a unique order number on it. Okay, so it is going to have orders. And it's got a order number. And this is one of the few places where people will do
sequential numbering, such that, okay, this order is 1,000, the next one's going to be 1,001, the next one's going to be 1,002. So this is just an arbitrary number on the order number.
It's ORDNO, just for people.
ORDNO.
Yeah,
but it makes sense to write it right. ORDNO. And then it's going to have the customer number. Okay? So, customer ID.
Yeah.
And so it has a link to the customer. Okay, so I've now been able to link to the customer. So I know this is order 1,000, and if I want to know who placed that order, the customer ID is going to take me over to the customer table, and I can find out who placed the order. Okay, and the other thing I have is date. How did I spell that?
Or date.
Okay. So that's the order date. Now, I cannot put on that order file the items that they ordered because that would break up you can't have repeating groups. Because I would end up with repeating groups if I put in all of the items that they ordered. And again, you get into the problem of what's the number if you're going to make repeating groups. You know, I say nobody orders more than 10 things at a time and establish a 10, and the next day somebody orders 12 things. So I can't do that. So the next table is going to be my order line table, okay, which has an order number, an item number, and number ordered. So it's order line, and you can spell for me.
Yeah, sure. It's ORD line.
ORD line.
You've got ORD NO. You've got item NO. And you've got num ORD.
Okay, so on this one, I now have the linking. Here I have the order number linking together. The customer number went over there. The item number goes over there. And so I'm linking all the tables together.
Okay. So on the order line, if I want to know anything about the order, like the customer or the date, I can use the order number to link over to the orders file. For each line item, if you think about an order, the top part is going to have the stuff that I get from the orders file. So when you have an order, you know, usually the top file part is going to have the stuff that I get from there. And it may also link over to the customer so it can put in the customer address there. Okay, so it can link over to the customer and put the customer address in. Then the stuff down here is going to be the line items, right? I'm going to list the things that they ordered. So I'm going to put the item number and the number ordered. And then I want to know more about the item, so I can link over there and get the information like the price and all the rest of it over there. Okay. So when I put together the order to send out or something or to display on the screen, then I am going to be referencing all four tables because I need to know information about the customer's address. So I'll link from the orders over to the customer to get their address. And I need to know the name of the item and the price of the item, and so I'll link over to the item table to get that. Now, I didn't put price on order line, and I think I have mentioned before that price could be included here. And in that case, it would be the price that I promised the customer. Okay, right now I'm going to be grabbing the price from the inventory table.
Yeah.
And so if the price has changed since I talked to the customer, they're going to have the change. And I may not want to do that. So I may decide that when I create this, I'll grab, go over to the inventory and grab the price so that I have the quoted price. And at that point, I call it the quoted price. So that could be on there. I didn't have it on this one, but that could be on there that I put the quoted price on. Okay. So those are those first four tables. Okay, then if I go back, I have a sales rep table. Well, if I go back up here, I can see that the sales rep is on the inventory customer. Okay, so I have the sales rep table. Now, I messed up. Okay? And I didn't mess up so that it doesn't work. I messed up so that it drives me crazy. If you notice here, I called it SLS rep. Okay? When you go down to the table, to the sales rep table, I called it sales rep. Okay? So I've got an extra A in there. And it works just fine. It's just that it's not something I recommend doing because you go nuts trying to remember which misspelling you used where.
You gotta describe the table.
Huh?
You gotta describe the table.
And you've got to remember, you know, did I have the A in it on this side and not on that side and all the rest of it. So I left it because it kind of makes me talk about this particular problem, but it was a mistake. But a mistake that I decided was worth leaving. So I called it sales rep there. And then if I go down and look, when I set up the sales rep table, come on, you can do it. Thank you. When I come down here and look at the sales rep table and look at the description that I put in that, then you can see that I called it sales rep. Okay, now that's fine. When I want to link them, I just have to remember which is which. And the kind of nice part about it is when I have a link, since they have different names, I don't have to have the table name in front of it. I can just say SLS rep equals SALS rep because they're different names. Even though that's kind of fun that I can just do it that way, that's not a good plan. It's because you just, it's easier to call things a matching thing. And wonder, why did I call it that here instead of a different field? Of, you know, it's not a good plan. So here I have the sales rep. And when you go back over and look at this, okay, the inventory customer is going to be having a sales rep in here, and it is going to be linking to the sales rep table that has a sales rep on it. So I've got that link also happening between those two tables. So I've got another table that's the sales rep table. And then, if you go back, I think I've got one more table, which is the department table. Okay, so department is going to be on inventory. And if you go up to inventory, you can see that department is there. And now when I come down here, department is here. Okay, so I've got also, in addition to these three tables, I've also got, is it department number or just department that I called it?
That department, D on PT.
Okay, So now I'm going to have the department table. Did I call, what did I call that?
You called the table department. Spelled out.
Department. Okay. So I have a link between those two. Okay. So I've now got six tables going on here with links between them all. Okay. Now, the other important thing to remember is that these fields that link, I don't quite know why I did that, but anyway, these fields that link have to have the same data type. Okay? You shouldn't call it character on one and varchar on another. Or character, varchar on one and number on the other. The fields that are going to be linking should be the same type and the same length. Okay, so the type and length need to be exactly the same on the fields that you're linking so that they match. Okay, if you make a field 5 characters one place and 6 characters another and somebody uses the 6 characters, it will never link to the 5 characters. Okay, so you've got to make the type and the size the same. Okay, so when up above, when I did department, if I go back, I have the type and the size the same. Should always be true. The type and the size should be the same. Okay. With 1 minute to spare, we're done. And we will look at the rest of the stuff on this tomorrow, Thursday. Okay, I'm around today. 1:45, I can stay up until 4, or I will leave if there's nobody around at 3. I'll probably leave because I have better things to do. But if you come in, you know, then sit and twiddle my thumbs. But if there are people here, I'm more than happy to stay till 4. So I can be around, but you have to, what, 1:45, you know, 2:30, 2, whatever. I can't figure out when the next class ends.
Wednesday I'll be here from 2 to 4.
And Wednesday, he will be here from 2 to 4, but he's in your class, so
yeah,
you can work together to struggle through things.
I'll take priority with 1:20, but I mean, I can definitely help out at least.
Right. And it's not a bad idea to work together to figure things out, so.
Yeah.
And I'll put up the homework tonight. I usually do that, usually put it up Tuesday or Wednesday. But I usually like to see exactly how far I got on Tuesday before I'm sure where I'm going to be able to get by the end of the week.